is going to be presented by Dr. Don Cook, and if I can find it, at Planning Management of Thrips in Mid-South Cotton. And there's a whole bunch of authors on this thing, so I'm not going to read them all. Don, you can share them if you want to.
That's fine. I'm impressed with the crowd I have, because with the student competition next door, I figured it'd be me and two or three others. This is by no means my work. This is the collaborative work of the Mid-South Entomology Working Group. We're an informal group of entomologists from Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana, Tennessee, and Missouri. And we've run what we call standardized tests for various things. One that we do every year is seed treatments for thrips on cotton. And we tweak it a little bit every year, but the general format's the same. And it's very useful to us to kind of look at historical performance, and it's on thrips, it's become more valuable in the last couple of years. If you were in the consultants conference this morning and saw Angus, Dominic, Phillips talk, some of this is going to be pretty boring to you. Thrips are early season pests. They can set the stage of what you're going to have to deal with as far as plant, how the plants are growing for the entire season. So they can slow things down. And for us in the Mid-South, the last thing you want to do is slow down the cotton crop, because that can mean 1 to 3 more plant bug applications. There's numerous species of thrips that can infest cotton. We've done several studies over the last 15 or 20 years looking at what species, and it always comes out tobacco thrips is our predominant species. The percentages fluctuate. We have years where western flower thrips are a lot more prevalent, but in general, tobacco thrips is what we deal with. And this is just a picture, and this is, if you remember Jack Reed, he was very good at taking insect photographs. This is western flower thrips, easterns, and tobacco thrips. These are all females. And this is mainly what we deal with. And everybody's mentioned this morning, for years, this was the standard that everything was compared to. And it worked. Now, it had some issues. It was kind of a pain to deal with. And when the neonicotinoid seed treatments came out, our growers rapidly adopted them, because they were in this transition of, okay, I'm trying to farm the most acres with the fewest employees and the least equipment. And by removing this step of having to deal with things like Timic or Infura fungicides, it became an efficiency issue. Now, from an insect management standpoint, that may not have been the best, because it was, and if you still put it in a trial, it's the gold standard. But right now, it's unavailable. And Angus showed this morning. This is basically foliar thrips applications in Mississippi. And for years, we've settled along at one. Even through the years when we used Timic, when the neonicotinoids were introduced, 2011, big jump. We had a lot of cottonseed that had thymethoxam on it. This is when we started seeing issues. 2014, dropped back down. Everybody switched to imidacloprid. Probably going to be somewhere about this same point this year. Everybody's using imidacloprid. Plus, it was a lot. We had a lot more rain. And that'll show up in just a minute. Miss Chelsea Darnell will speak on this, and this is some of her data. This is basically bioassays with tobacco thrips, and this is resistance ratios. This is 2014. So in the Mississippi Delta, we got 20-fold resistance in 2014. Imidacloprid looks pretty good. Angus shared some of her data from 2015 this year, or this morning. This is even higher, much higher. What's concerning is this is higher. we went from, and I don't want to steal her thunder, but like 1.5 to 12. So that is a bit of concern for us. And I think it was Philip showed this morning, basically range of damage, basically from no damage to a dead plant. This is the rating scale, and you'll see some data from that in just a minute. But like I said, we've run these trials for years, and I just want to, before we get into the data for 2015, we had a whole lot less pressure this past year than we had in 2014. This is just the cumulative number of thrips in the non-treated plots from 1 to 4 leaf stage. And you can see we had a whole lot less pressure this past year. That being said, pressure's low, but the trends are the same. One leaf, as usual, your non-treated has the highest. But with Cruiser, it's all of these are providing something, but it's not as much as what we've seen in the past. And this one was what was a little bit worrisome to me. Somebody mentioned acephate this morning. In these trials, we're running acephate seed treatment from basically 6.4 ounces per hundred weight all the way up to 24 ounces, looking for what can we do in addition or what's our alternatives. One leaf stage, 24 ounces of acephate looks pretty good. Damage, Angus was, and the others talking about 3 being that kind of breaking point where you're going to possibly see yield impacts. We're below 2 on everything because of low numbers. Two leaf stage, populations bump up, trends are the same. Cruiser is not different from the non-treated now. Gaucho is still providing. The acephate looks good. If you got any comments or anything, I'm pretty informal, so you can just stop me anytime. Look at the damage rate. We're bumping up, but we're still below 3. Still got separation, but still everything's pretty low. Get out to the third leaf stage. We're starting to see populations build. Cruiser and Evicta are bumping up pretty high. They're not different than the control. Last year, and I'm not showing the data, but we didn't see much of a difference between Gaucho and Aris, and it's not significant, but there is some numerical differences there. You look at the damage, even though the numbers bumped up, our damage is going up, but still it's not bad. And it's a function of pressure. We get out to the fourth leaf stage, and this is about time we really start worrying about thrips, provided the cotton's growing good. Everything is breaking at this point. With some of the bad weather, some of the crop development was delayed, and it took longer than normal between the different leaf stages. But still, one thing to look at here is even out this far out, the higher rates of acephate and Aris are still providing better control of thrips than some of the others. And damage is still pretty low. This is basically some from last year, from 2014. This is basically a seasonal total as a comparison. You can see just pretty big numbers in the non-treated. In this one, we were looking at Cruiser plus acephate, and it did provide some adding acephate to Cruiser did help in this case. We did not have those this year, but this is just a scale. We're probably 60% less in pressure this past year than previous years. But the trends are still the same. And this is something I put together. This is Cruiser and Gaucho. This is the cumulative numbers over the different leaf stages and sampling periods for each year. Yeah, the magnitudes are different, but Angus said he was concerned about Gaucho this morning. This concerns me. If you look at these lines, the slopes of these lines are not different. So they're following the same trends no matter which compound. So what we're seeing with Cruiser, we're seeing the same trends with Gaucho, even though the numbers are lower at this point. 2014, with a bigger, more pressure, we saw some pretty substantial yield impacts compared to the non-treated. Everything, all of the seed treatments provided better yield protection. One thing that we did notice is adding Cruiser, acephate to Cruiser really didn't help on yield. Gaucho and Aris were our better treatments. Switch to this year, lower pressure, our range of yields is a lot tighter. This was, the p-value on this was like 0.09, wasn't significant at 0.05. We still see the similar trends. Even though it didn't look like Gaucho was performing quite as well as it did in 14 on Thrips numbers, it's still one of our better yielding treatments. So this is still up in the air and something that's still evolving. That's pretty much what I had. I know I went through that a little bit quick and I may have got us a little ahead of schedule, Mike. But yes, sir. Sir? Those were across all the locations, Chip. That's 3 in Arkansas, 2 in Mississippi, 1 in Tennessee, and 2 in Louisiana.
So. Other questions for Don?
Thank y'all.